verbs for the Christian and the church life. That's what we're going through right now as we get into 2 Peter, but I'm going to take a few other verses as we go along here. I want to throw this quote out to you, and we're going to pick it apart a little bit, and then I'm going to get you to talking about it around your table so you can join tables. And I want you to think, this quote has come across my emails and some of my readings a couple of times already. It's actually pretty profound. So if you want to put it up there, and let's walk through it, and then we'll talk about it as a table. Martin Robinson, in his book Invading Secular Space, writes, "What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of church life is to not to attract more people into attendance and membership, but to produce people who had a profound sense of their personal relationship to God, their resource in Christ, and could take that reality into the world with them?" Take a breath. I'm going to read one more time. This is profound. I should probably get Carol to just email it to all of us. What would it look like for a church, this church, to function in such a way that the primary goal is not church attendance, more attendance, attracting more people into attendance and membership, but to produce people who had a profound sense of their personal relationship to God, their resource in Christ, and then could take that reality into the world with them? See, as a church, as Jesus has planned it, is to simply and profoundly to teach us and develop us to abide in Him. It's less about programs. Now note that I didn't say not about programs. It's just less about programs. The church exists for our relationship with Jesus. And then it's about our relationships with our families, our neighbors, our classmates, our sports mates, our teams, our friendships. It's about our community involvement and our places of work. Yes, our workplaces. And I'll talk about that in the months to come. But where we work. That's why I'm committed to being a co-vocational pastor, to work with you in the church and with you in the community where we all live. We only spend maybe, depending how early you come to get coffee and snack, and how late you stay afterwards, is maybe 2 hours. The rest of our life is out there, working on our suntans and everything like that. I'm committed to being a co-vocational pastor, to work with you in the church, and to work with you in the community where we all live. I love connecting with this church out there, out in our community, to the school bus families, to hockey families in the arena, to the construction world that I meet at Rona and my fellow employees there. Go to the next phrase. Look at this. What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of church life was not to attract more people into attendance and membership, but to, let's stop there, not to attract more people into attendance and membership. What would it look like? Next one. What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of church life was to produce people, produce us, with a profound sense of our relationship to God and our resource in Christ? If that was a primary goal, that we want to help us, who are we in Christ? All that we have. Next one. What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of the church was to produce people who would then take all of that into the world. Naturally, where we are, where we work, where we play, where we do things in the world. Put up the rest of the quote. In your, around your tables. I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk about what's something that jumps out at you about this phrase. I know it's not the Bible, okay? But there's something profound about this statement about who we are as the church. Go. Talk about this. And if you have to join tables, mix around before we go.
Thank you.
let me give you a quick teaser about where I'm going to go with this in a few months. Can I encourage us to not always feel I have to say something when I'm with people? I think what he's getting at, and if I hear Jesus saying, you are the light of the world and you're all of that, that I think as Jesus works in our life, just our Jesus' presence, I'm getting ahead of myself, Jesus' presence in our life becomes our presence with people. And sometimes we don't have to say a word. Sometimes we shouldn't say anything. If we would just be a Christ follower and allow the fruit of the Spirit and allow the character of Christ to be out there. I'll talk about that in a while, but Abide Church is more than changing a name from Rosenor Community Church, more than the reasons we have presented. We've been talking about this on and off for years, actually. We introduced the serious plan in February in our leadership team report. And then on May 3rd, I introduced why we want to change the name. And then 3 weeks ago, we introduced the name Abide Church formally. And though it had been leaked out before that, we tested the name with a few individuals. The name Rosendorf seems to be in most things around town. Almost everything is named Rosendorf, whatever it would be. 3 out of the 4 churches, evangelical churches, have Rosendorf in their name. Did you know that? Of course you knew that, because you don't acronize any of the church names. Can we do something for another church in town? It's called Pleasant Valley Church. I would have taken that name for our church that was already taken. I love that name. Every time we talk about that church, can we always say Pleasant Valley and not PV? It's a good name, even if we don't say church. Every time we talk about Pleasant Valley EMC, we would say Pleasant Valley and not PV. And if you're from PV, I mean Pleasant Valley, and you're listening to this, start that revolution in your church. Call your church Pleasant Valley. Can we do that? All in favor? Come on! Okay, let's carry on. It's like Oasis Church. I love that name. But we don't go Oasimo. Or Springs Church. Used to be longer, remember? Springs of Living Water Church. We shortened it, but I still like Springs. Okay. We have actual people from outside of Rose, New York that attend this church. Can I hear anybody from Low Park? We got one. I think we have a few more. Domain? Yay! Osborne? Anywhere else? Santa Gap? Santa Doll? Yes? Santa Gap? Santa Doll? Santa. I always get those two mixed up. Where?
LaSalle?
Look at that! We got somebody from. See? We're more than just Rosendorf. Somebody here from Kenora? Oh, yeah, there's. Not always not here, that's right. They are not here. Yeah. Okay. Alright. Let's keep moving on. Andy Stanley in his book, Deep and Wide, discusses the word church. I've mentioned this before. A gathering of people, an assembly is called an ecclesia in Greek. But what's happened is we've changed it to mean basilica, which is a building. And I'm encouraging us to be a gathering of people and not a building of people. We believe that churches can hold names that describe where they want to go and what they want to be and what they do. We have a name of what Jesus is calling us to be and to do. A verb, an action word, is a good name. It's actually more than just a name. And since we have announced it to us, we have sensed and heard good enthusiasm for the name. So starting today, we introduce to you Abide Church, formerly known as RCC. We are Abide Church. Abide Church is about moving forward. It's about what Jesus is doing in us and with us. It's about a vision for this church, for us, for each of us personally and beyond, and for us as a body. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will forgive your sins and wash them away. Come to me and I will set you free from the fear of death and all the bondages that hold you down. Come to me and I will give you life and life more abundantly." Abide in and with me. Remain in and with me. Follow me. Stay in and live with me. Live, dwell in me. That's all those synonyms of abide. It's a rich verb. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And I was sharing with the Heritage Senior Center this morning, and some of the kids were there and we sang with them. Revelation 3:20. Right near the end of the seven churches that Jesus is writing to, he says this verse, which I wonder if he intentionally put it towards the end of the seven churches and not at the beginning. He says this, "Look!" Exclamation point. "Look," he's saying, "I stand at the door and knock." What door is that? What door? The front door. Yes. The front door of what? Of our heart? The front door of our heart. He's not trying to come in the back door. That's brilliant. He's not trying to come in the back door. He's coming in the front door of our hearts. What's the other front door he wants to come into? In the context, church. He's writing to the churches. "I want to come in. If you hear my voice and open the door," you have to open the door, "I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." We will be together. We will abide together. Now, it's interesting in some of the other translations, and not the New Living Translation, he talks about or uses the phrase, or is translated the phrase, "I will come in, and I will eat with you, and you will eat with me." That's kind of like a double positive, kind of. Like, why would he go through all those extra? Why would it be translated that way? It used to be in this time, and maybe it is today in some cultures, where the master will eat, and the slave will sit and watch. And after the master has finished, then the slave can eat. And what he's saying here, and Jesus does talk about that in the Gospels, about that in that exact analogy, if you remember it. But what he's saying is, "I'm coming into your heart. I'm coming into your church. I want to come into your heart and church, and I want to have supper with you." What's the point of supper? Time. Good food. It's kind of the end of the day meal. It's usually like really nice and kind of the best meal of the day, although, you know, I like breakfast. And he's saying, "I want to have supper with you. I want want to be with you. If I was trying to help our people this morning, oh, if we could just get he really, really, really wants to be with us. And he really, really, really wants us to be with him. This isn't just an evangelism verse. You've probably heard that, what we share with non-Christians, you know, open up the door here. Yeah, that's true. But in the context, he's talking to the church. He's talking to those who already have Jesus in their heart, in their life, however you want to picture it. I just want to be with you. Can we be together? And that's what he's talking about here in John 15. That's why we're really excited about going with the word abide. We go to John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. Maybe a warning he's talking in here. If we are severed from the vine, we're not abiding, we will not produce fruit, and you cannot be fruitful. You and I will not be fruitful in our lives, in our ministries, in our church, in our work, in our family, in our marriages, if we're not abiding with Jesus. But we'll put all our human effort into it, but unless we're partnering, abiding with Jesus to do, that's what he's saying here, nothing we do will last. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, he doesn't say you'll not do much. He says you can do nothing. That's a pretty bold statement. You know, like how sometimes we say, or I encourage different married couples or friends or whatever, don't never say never and never use always, however that phrase goes, right? You should never say in our marriage, you never do that, or you always do that, or you never say that, or you always say that. We should never and always are usually words we shouldn't use. But he's saying that here. He's saying that here, that unless we abide, nothing of godly work will come. So can I say, welcome to our beginning, our becoming a new and improved church body. New name, same great people. Right? Welcome to this good group of people that meets here in this place for now. And every Sunday morning at 10:30-ish. Come, let's gather, let's be the ecclesia that grows together on a relationship with Jesus. Come, let's be more than a basilica and be a people who cares for each other and reaches beyond these walls. Together, let's be inspired and challenged and encouraged to abide with and in Jesus and to love Jesus. And then to bless our families, to bless our neighbors, to bless our classmates, to bless our sportsmates, our teams, to bless our friendships, to bless our community, our workplaces. Yes, our workplaces. Together, let's abide in Jesus. Let's remain in him. Let's sit with him. Let's walk with him. Let's grow with him. Let's go back to that quote one more time. What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of church life was not to attract more people into attendance and membership, but to produce a people who had such a profound sense of their personal relationship to God and to the resource in Christ and could take all of that into the world with them. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand. Look, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together. I want to be with you. I want you to wake up in the morning and go, oh, good morning, Lord. Thank you that you're with me. And as you go to bed at night, as you lay down your head on the pillow, whatever day it was, oh, Jesus, thank you that you were with me. Thank you that you're with me. And I can sleep in peace with you. Do we want a deeper relationship with Jesus? The verb abide helps us towards that. So abide, church. Let's abide as He wants to be with us, and He wants us to be with Him. So I'm going to ask Sandy to come up. And her dad is going to play guitar. And I guess Scott, maybe? No? So Sadie's going to sing a song that we've sung many times. And the words will go up. But I don't want you to sing along. I want you to just listen as she sings. Maybe close your eyes and allow the song to minister to you. To allow the song to touch you. And just listen. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we abide in you. Teach us, draw us as we draw ourselves to you, Jesus. We love you.